I'm Blair Palmer, and welcome to the Punks in Suits podcast, bringing the leadership thinking, beliefs, philosophies, and practices behind punky, startup-y, next-stage businesses to you, even if your company's not quite there yet. Hello, and welcome to episode 17 of the Punks in Suits podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. The topic that I want to talk about in this podcast is leadership development. Now, I talked at the beginning of the year about the fact that I don't really think there is such a thing as leadership development. I think there is self-development, inner work, and I think that leaders benefit from opportunities to think about, to ask, to contemplate big questions. But I think it's worth talking a little bit about where you can get this kind of experience. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. So just to reiterate what I think about leadership development, typically leadership development is something you go away and do. It is something that is generally disconnected from the day-to-day work. So you go on a course or you go to a workshop and you will learn tips and techniques, tools, models, you'll go through case studies, you may have some opportunities to talk to your other delegates that are at the workshop. You may even have the opportunity to bring a topic that is challenging you back in the workplace and get a bit of input or see how to apply the tools and techniques that you've learned about to this particular challenge. But it is something that you go away and do. It is something separate. It is not integrated into your everyday life. Now, that isn't going to be the case for all leadership development, and some of the things that I talk about in this podcast, you might already be doing. But for me, those programs where you go away and do a workshop, or you go away for 3 days and immerse yourself in a topic, or you take an MBA, or you go on a 6-month leadership program, they have their place. I've run many of them, and they've had really good results for the people taking part. The challenge is, how do you design leadership development or leadership interventions that are actually sustainable? And the problem is, even about really brilliant 6-month programs that are really designed uniquely for the organization, when they end, they end. And then there's this kind of vacuum. And what you're hoping is that you've created enough momentum and enough energy and enough enthusiasm to keep the learning going, and that those people that were on the program will remain enthusiastic for the things they learned, will stick together as a group and continue to work together to keep developing each other in the way that they did when the program was in place. And I can tell you that when I've led leadership programs in the past, it's very common for those cohorts to carry on, at least for a while after the program finishes, working together, challenging each other, coaching each other. So that's all great. But I want us to think slightly differently about where this development can come from and how to make the best of it. Because I'm not saying you don't need to grow as a leader. We all are on a growth journey, and that growth journey is a lifelong journey. So there are many, many ways that you can get this kind of input and this inspiration. And in a way, there's no bad leadership development. Even if you go on a course that is a complete waste of your time in terms of everything you learned about you already knew, there was no time to interact, there was no time to make it relevant, the model that you were learning about wasn't applicable in your situation, the trainer wasn't a great communicator or didn't listen or panicked when they got negative feedback or when they got critique from the delegates. I've seen all of these things happen. Even in that situation, I guarantee you, you take something away. Even if it is, this is not what works for me. So there's no such thing as bad leadership development. But obviously, when time is at a premium, and when your organization really needs you to be at the top of your game, you do not want to go on a lot of programs that teach you more about what not to do than what to do and how to be. So let's think about this in two ways. The first is that there's inner development or inner work, and then big questions. So whatever development you do, you might be looking for one or other or both of these things from it. So just to be clear, the inner work is the self-development. It is not leadership specific, although it can have a leadership angle like with this podcast. There are lots of things in this podcast that I talk about that any really good self-development podcast will talk about. It's just that I add the leadership angle, and I'm coming from a perspective that this is something that you will use in the workplace to generate this sense of leadership around you. You'll be more leader-like, and other people will see you in that leadership capacity. So the inner work is the self-development, and this can be as straight up or as woo-woo as you like. So there are plenty of self-development workshops, plenty of self-development books that you can read, podcasts that you can listen to, all of this stuff that helps you to have a better understanding of who you are and to get aligned with who you are, so that increasingly the self on the inside of you and the way that you be in your life is integrated. In terms of big questions, the big questions is the stuff that opens your mind to new ways of thinking and seeing. So it's any development that you do that busts conventions. I really love doing both of these kinds of work with clients, and I think that they work really well together because they start almost with assumptions. So I might notice that a leader, a client of mine, is making quite a lot of assumptions. And so we start asking big questions about those assumptions. So for instance, a leader who works very, very hard, very long hours and is passionate about what they do. So they get to the office at 5-6 o'clock in the morning. They work until 11:30 at night. They eat, sleep, and breathe the business. And they have a question about, how do I get other people to feel like I do about the business? How do I get them to want to put as much into it as I do? And to me, there are lots and lots of assumptions built into that little story. Assumptions about working hours, assumptions about other people, assumptions about how I can get other people too. There's tons of them. So as we start busting some of these beliefs and assumptions, we start asking big questions. What if? What if it wasn't necessary to work 18 hours a day in order to succeed? What if success didn't have to be at this incredible pace that you have set up? What if the way that you lead, whilst it looks like it should inspire, actually makes it difficult for other people to step up? What if it isn't possible for you to get other people to anything, and that you can let go of that completely? So by asking these big questions and busting some conventions, we then open the door to some inner work. So what is it that drives these long hours in you? What are the beliefs you have about yourself? And how aligned are you in the way that you behave based on your values and what you say is really important to you? So then we get into the inner work. And this is the stuff that I think is really interesting right now. Now, in the past, and I've been doing this work now for about 17 years, and before that, of course, I had my own, I was working at the BBC, but I went to workshops, I was a delegate, I did my own self-development even in those days. And I think that there are trends in this work, and I think that there is more of a move these days to get into much more of the busting conventions and inner work, and companies are becoming more curious about mindfulness and meditation. And I even went to a workshop a couple of years ago where we were learning how to douse for energy. And, you know, it's all becoming kind of alternative. And I can guarantee you that 15, 20 years ago, there wasn't really any appetite for that. Even today, some of that stuff is a little bit out there. But I think that we've moved on. And so some of the stuff we might have needed to do 10 or 15 years ago, some of the basics about giving feedback, receiving feedback, having appraisals, coaching, these things were really, really cutting edge 15 years ago. Now they're much more in the culture. Certainly they're talked about. Whether they live and breathe is another thing, but they're certainly talked about. And so that means that we can take it to another level. We can go a little deeper. And that's where this inner work and big questions come from. But where can you get this? What kind of development intervention, if you like, I hate that word, but what kind of development program or development intervention can you participate in to start getting some of this inner work and asking these big questions? Well, the first thing I want to talk about is coaching. Now, I'm a massive fan of coaching. I am a coach. I have a coach. Most of my friends are coaches. So I deeply believe in coaching. And for me, coaching is about eliciting the wisdom within yourself. So where coaching is less valuable is where the coach offers guaranteed results, guaranteed outcomes. So a coach who says, I help people get the job they want, or I help people get the promotion, or I'll help you make £1 million. These are results that a coach cannot guarantee because they're not the one that's going to be doing it. Now, they may be able to mentor you towards getting those results. It may be that they've got them themselves and they've got some really good tools and techniques that you can use and they're willing to share those with you. But even in that case, they cannot guarantee that you will achieve those results because it's down to you, your willingness, your capability, opportunity, lots and lots of variables that the coach cannot control, and frankly, nor can you. So where I think that coaching is most valuable is where it's an opportunity for reflection, where the coach can mirror back, can challenge your ways of thinking, but then you decide how to apply those insights to your current situation. You can bring specific questions. You can even have a goal for the coaching, and it's useful to have that very often. But you may not end up working on that because you may end up going deeper. You may not get the results you wanted to get, either because of the opportunity or your capability were not there, or because as a result of the coaching, you shifted around what it was you really wanted, what success actually looked like to you. So with coaching, the more specific the results you want to achieve from the coaching, the less likely you are to find coaching satisfactory. The other reason that coaching can be limited is that the coach will work with you one-to-one and will therefore only see the world from your perspective. Now, this is absolutely fine when you're doing self-development and big questions, because this is an opportunity to step away from the everyday work and really think about yourself. Who am I? What do I want? How am I getting in my own way? But the coach cannot necessarily see the impact that you have on the rest of the world. So I've been in situations where the coachee has told me how a particular meeting went down and how they behaved in that meeting, and I've been really surprised when they've told me the reaction of their colleagues. And it's only when I've seen them actually in a situation that I've seen, oh yeah, I know how it looks to you, but how it looks to other people is rather different. And unless I have that insight, I am trapped in your little world of seeing things the same way that you do and being really shocked and surprised that people find you difficult to work with or that they reacted the way that you tell me that they did. So coaching is great when it's about yourself and your inner work and asking the inner questions and reflecting. It's not great if what you really need is to understand what impact you're having on other people. In that case, you need to get out of the one-to-one coaching and you need to get some feedback of some kind. You need the coach to come and watch you in action or to talk to the people that you are influencing or having influence over in terms of your behavior, or even to work with you as a whole team, because it's the dynamic between you that is where the solution lies or where the forward motion lies, not in one-to-one coaching with you. I do some one-to-one coaching and it is all on this basis. We're going to work on you as the individual leader, your inner work, your big questions. This is time for reflection. It's not going to be, how do I get so-and-so to behave differently? How do I get my team? It's not out there, it's in here, in your heart, in your body, in your soul. So coaching's great when you use it in that way. And when you use it in that way, it can really be transformative to your sense of self and to your ability to bust some of these conventions. The second kind of development that I really recommend is team development, team away days. Now, this might sound like a cliche and the kind of thing that I wouldn't support. When I say team away days, there are a couple of things I'm not talking about. So I'm not talking about paintballing or climbing Everest together or locking yourselves in a room and having 3 hours to get out of it. This is not what I'm talking about. Now, I do encourage teams to spend time together. I encourage you to spend time with all sorts of people, and your team should be part of it. And if you want to go away together and have dinner or paintball or build a fort together, that's absolutely fine. But I don't think that that is the kind of team development that's really going to be transformative. The sustainability of whatever is achieved when you go away is quite limited, besides the fact that just because you love cycling a mountain trail doesn't mean that any of your colleagues will like it. And for some people, that's their idea of hell, as it would be for me. So immediately you choose something, you're going to put some people off. It's going to be comfortable for some. It's going to be a living nightmare for others. And that is not going to be good for your sense of team togetherness. The other thing that I don't include here is team strategy days. Now, I've been involved in a lot of these myself, and it's a great idea for the team to get away from its normal environment and go and work together on strategy. That is brilliant. Just don't get that confused with team development. Those events can bring people together. Certainly, it can help to be clear about shared purpose, shared direction, some of the key milestones. That can really help a team to pull together. You're all facing the same direction, you're all buying into the same strategy. But when we're talking about inner work and big questions, these are not strategy days, and I don't believe that you can combine strategy days with this kind of work. It is a completely different energy. The ideal scenario for me is that teams go away for 2-3 days longer, if you think you can manage it, to deepen relationships, to deepen trust. It's an opportunity to philosophize, to get under the skin of topics, to mull things over, to reflect, to be. It's more like a retreat than a working day, a classic working day or working couple of days. What I want to see at these is lots of opportunity for storytelling, lots of opportunity for curiosity, lots of opportunity to cook and to eat together, to be quiet, to get beyond the hard tactical or strategic topics that dominate your mind most of the time. And I think you should do this a lot. I think you should do this more than you probably think you should. This is not a once a year or once every 2 year thing. I think that teams ought to be doing this at least 2 or 3 times a year, if not more. Now, this might seem like a massive investment of time, but when you see things the way that I see things, it isn't a massive investment of wasted time, but it is a massive investment. If you think about what slows things down in the workplace, what makes it difficult to have tough conversations, to make robust decisions, to have each other's back in difficult times, it's because this deep level of trust and understanding is not there. If you go on a training workshop that teaches you how to have tough conversations and gives you a kind of script of here's how to do it, that will be a complete waste of time if you don't have a deep level of trust with your colleagues when you embark on using those techniques. So you might be willing to spend 3 or 4 days a year going on workshops learning techniques that you simply cannot use because the trust in the colleagues is not there and it would be highly risky for you to use it. So that's at the very basic. If you're going to do anything, do the trust stuff, not the technique-y training. But beyond that, every single day you come up against barriers because the trust isn't there. So you have to spend a lot of time persuading and cajoling and building relationships because you didn't invest in them until the point at which you kind of needed that person to trust you, by which time it's a bit late. So putting in this work first, getting the relationships there, and I know you're probably on multiple teams, so you might have to invest this time with your functional team, maybe with your project team, maybe there are other communities that you work closely with. But I think if we think differently about time, time not being something that we need to keep busy, and if we're not active and doing, then somehow we're wasting time. But we get smart and we think, we only have a certain amount of time. How do we get the most out of it? Do we get the most out of it by pedaling faster and harder every single day, hitting up against these barriers and these obstacles, but kind of pushing through? Or do we get more out of the time by stopping and slowing down and investing in relationships so that when we get to barriers, we can get through them together much more easily and maybe those barriers don't even exist? Next, number 3, events and conferences. Now, you probably do go to at least one big industry conference a year. You probably go to events related to your industry or to your professional expertise quite frequently. I'm suggesting going to the ones you wouldn't normally go to. So going to ones in fields that aren't directly related to yours. Now, the reason that I recommend this is that I'm lucky enough to get to do this all the time because I speak at conferences. I'm often sitting through a day of keynote speakers and sessions on a topic that I know very little or nothing about. Very often, a lot of my clients for speeches are pharmaceutical companies, and I'm sitting there and the science is just so complex that most of it goes right over my head. But sometimes I pick something up that's really, really interesting, or I notice a theme that is coming up across different industries or across different kinds of technical expertise. And this is really useful for me. It's that sort of breakout moment where you're present, but you're focusing in a different way because you're not really hanging on to the detail because you don't really understand the detail. So you're noticing themes and you're noticing energy and you're noticing stuff that's kind of in the ether between the lines of what's actually being discussed. And sometimes, of course, there's a speaker, you just think this is brilliant and this is completely applicable to my industry. So if you're a scientist, go to a logistics conference. If you're in design, go to an insurance conference. Get out of that normal way of thinking. As I've said many times before, creativity occurs when two seemingly unconnected concepts collide. If you find the opportunity to go to conferences or events that are outside of your normal everyday working remit, then you put yourself in the way of creativity. Let's talk next, number four, about leadership development programs. Now, as I've said, I've run a number of these myself over the years, and the ones that have been the most valuable, or the parts of the programs that have been the most valuable, are the parts that are content free. Now, this is kind of frustrating because you spend weeks, sometimes months, designing these programs. And then the bits that people say they found most valuable were the bits where you let them go off for a walk for 2 hours in pairs and just have critical friend type conversations with each other, or the dinners, or when you decided that the agenda wasn't really working and you set it aside and you said to them, what do you want to work on? For me, the best kind of leadership development is learning from each other, learning by doing, learning through these big questions, the kind of stuff that might happen on your leadership team retreat, giving each other feedback. It's not about filling your day with models and tools and techniques and case studies. It's about creating a space where you guys can talk and think together and support each other and challenge each other and be provocative and open your mind, both in terms of the big questions that come up and also your inner development. It's very difficult in the day-to-day to do that because you're attached to the outcome. You know, this is a topic in the meeting that you feel strongly about, or if this decision is made in a particular way, it's going to be bad for you or it's going to be good for you. It's very difficult for you to separate yourself out and observe yourself and give feedback or receive feedback in that moment. So taking yourselves away from that situation and doing content-free development where you pose a question that you're then going to spend the next hour or 4 hours or day discussing, or bringing topics that you would like feedback and input on. This is the stuff that I think really makes the difference. And of course, it isn't content free in the sense that everyone in that room has been on other workshops or read books or listened to podcasts or knows about a technique or a tool or a model that they can throw in. And so you do learn real hard skill from each other, but the stuff that's put into the room for you to learn about is informed by the conversation. So these leadership thinking groups or gangs or pods are a great opportunity for development, for growth, without needing to be on a formal training program where you're hearing about the latest model or the latest tool that you probably won't use because it isn't particularly relevant to you, or it's no better than the tool that they told you about at the last training workshop you went to that you also haven't used. There are lots and lots of reasons why you wouldn't use them, and it's very unlikely that you'll use this one just because it's a new one when you didn't use the one that you learned about last year or 2 years ago or on your MBA. So content-free leadership development, I think, is the way forward. Next, lunch. Lunch or coffee or breakfast or going to the pub. Long, luxurious conversations with one or more other person or people where you expect nothing back, with people that you think you have nothing to learn from, where you're there because you are curious and you just want to deepen the relationship and you just want to see what comes out of it. I've had loads of these over my 17 years in this industry, and I always come away with some little nugget, and I'm glad to say so does the other person. I think we really underestimate the power of a long, luxurious conversation. You know, it's all the rage at the moment to have stand-up meetings and stand-up conversations and to use every second of the day to get stuff resolved. And of course, there are situations where that is the absolute perfect thing to do. I'm not saying everything has to be slow and laborious, but we do not spend enough time talking to each other, getting to know each other, listening to each other. And a long, luxurious lunch like we used to have in the olden days, but focused on curiosity and getting to know the other person and sharing insights and coaching each other, if you like. This is the stuff that has a huge benefit when it comes to your own inner work and playing with these big questions. So it's not a formal leadership intervention. It's something that you can make happen very, very easily. You just have to find the time. And as I've said, we need to think differently about time. Instead of thinking, I cannot afford 2 hours to have lunch, I need to be at my desk. Just think about how problematic it is for you that you don't know the people that you work with properly, that you haven't explored the limiting beliefs and assumptions that are keeping you trapped in the same hamster wheel day after day after day. This is not a problem that is going to solve itself. sometimes people say things like, well, when I'm less busy, I will do more development. When I'm less busy, I will have time for lunch. You will never be less busy unless you have the time for lunch. It's a cause and effect thing. You are trapped in this way of working because you haven't stopped working this way. And it's only by stopping and taking time to have these conversations that you will get a breakthrough that allows you to go back to your desk the next day or 2 hours later and look at what you were working on and say, that is not helpful. That's not helping me. That's not helping the organization. I shouldn't be doing it. And the final thing I want to talk about in terms of your development is just everyday life. Sometimes I'll ask people about their development and what the opportunities are for growing as a person or as a leader in the organization, and they'll say, oh, we don't get developed, there's no budget. Well, development's happening all the time. Certainly the opportunity to develop is happening all the time. You're out there in the world, you're doing stuff, you're getting feedback, formal or informal. You are getting stuff wrong. You are getting stuff right. You're observing other people and the way they go about living their lives and doing their work. It's right there for you. And you are learning all the time. The thing is, you just might not notice, or you might not be taking the best lessons from the experiences you're having. So even if you don't have time for the team retreats, or you're not in a position to work with a coach right now, or there aren't any conferences for you to go to in the next 6 months that really you think are going to inspire you, that's fine. Simply stop and reflect on what's going on in your world right now and learn from that. If you can do that yourself on your journey to, from work, when you're taking the dog for a walk, when you're pottering about the shops at lunchtime, then that's fine. If you want to buddy up with someone and make it a little bit more formal, then that's fine too. But the opportunities to learn are right there. You are getting developed all the time. Every time you're given something new, something that pushes you outside your comfort zone, or the opportunity to have a second go at something you've already done, the opportunity is there to learn and to be developed. And you can simply grasp that opportunity. It just requires looking at it and thinking about it in a slightly different way. The bottom line is that there are no right or wrong sources of development. Development's happening all the time, or it should be. It's not a one-time thing. It's not that you get to go to a workshop in April and that's your development for the year. Learning about yourself and asking these big questions, busting conventions, is an ongoing, lifelong journey of being curious. And the way I think about it is this. Leadership isn't the state of knowing yourself and knowing the answers to the big questions. Leadership is the act of learning about yourself and the act of asking the big questions. I'm back again next week, of course. If you want to talk about your own development or share your ideas about where development can come from, you can contact me via Instagram at Blair Lees Palmer, that's L-Y-S in the middle. You can tweet at Blair Palmer, or you can email me direct, blair@thatpeoplething.com. And just with that information again, but in a far more squeaky, cute voice, here's the lovely Ivy Palmer.
We now have a Facebook page where you can get information about the podcast, links to other articles and experts, and connect with like-minded people. Just search Punks and Suits and like our page. Of course, you can also follow Mummy on Twitter at Blair Palmer, Instagram at Blair Lees Palmer, or email her, blair@thatpeoplething.com. But most importantly, we want people to be able to find out about the podcast, and you can help with that. Please share the iTunes link on social media. Leadership is changing fast, and with your help, more people will discover how to make a difference and create organizations that are a force for good in the world. I think I might be a little bit gassy.